Gareth Bale on the Eric Anders Lang Show. I'm excited. I'm excited for you to be here.
I'm excited to be on here.
I'm excited for me to be here. We were saying a little bit before the podcast got started, you're so excited to be talking about golf.
Yeah, it makes a change.
But because you don't normally talk about golf.
No, well, normally when we're doing shoots, it's obviously naturally always football and football this, football that. So it's nice to, yeah, have my hobby to talk about.
We, a lot of listeners to the podcast, mostly golf fans from around the world. Some of them in America are going to wonder which NFL team you're on. They're mistaken. You're not on an NFL team. You're on perhaps the best soccer team, if you don't mind, for one moment.
Soccer's fine with me.
On planet Earth. Can you say that or no?
Yeah, of course.
Do you?
We're probably the most, well, we're the most successful, so yeah. There's no reason why not to say it.
I'm curious to know, when you think of the words football and soccer, do you care? Is it?
No, it doesn't bother me. I spend holidays in America, so.
So you understand, soccer's fine.
So yeah, it's fine for me.
It's so weird that they're called different things, but they're the same thing.
I know.
It really is strange.
Yeah, so whenever because I have a few friends in America, whenever I say football, they just like, what? I'm like, oh yeah. It just clicks like 10 seconds later.
You're one of the best footballers in the world. You didn't blink when I said that. How long you believe that?
I just let other people talk about stuff like that.
Your trade to Real Madrid was at the time the record-breaking deal.
At that time, yeah.
At the time.
Yeah.
Were you like, oh my God. How do you see that in that moment when that's happening? Are you like, I just broke a record and it's not even, I'm obviously great at what I do and here's the proof.
Yeah. Everyone always says, because when players go for big fees over here, I know it doesn't really happen so much in America where a transfer would happen. It's more of a trade.
It's totally different.
Yeah. So obviously over here when someone gets bought.
Maybe for the Americans, I'll just explain.
Okay.
There's two things that happens when you trade teams.
Yeah.
One is the team basically buys you.
Yeah.
But then there's also a salary. And you don't get any of that money.
No.
The first team that bought you. Yeah, no. You're fine. You're fine. But then they have your salary.
Yeah.
Totally different.
Totally different, yeah.
So there's two prices associated with you.
Yeah.
So anyway, continue on. Sorry for interrupting.
Anyway, so when a club buys a player for a large fee, obviously, normally there's a lot of pressure behind the club's paid. God knows how many millions for you, and there's kind of pressure for you to perform and stuff. But when mine went through, it was kind of strange. I knew it was the world record at the time. But I just kind of never really, I just didn't really think about it. It was just one of those things. I just wanted to play football and whatever happened. I just wanted to try and give my best on the pitches, where I guess a lot of other people are like, oh no, I have to prove my worth. Is where I kind of took a different approach to it and just let it kind of get off my back.
So you never thought about doing like a full Dave Chappelle move to Africa, never going to touch a soccer ball again?
No.
You're fine with it?
Yeah, no, it doesn't bother me.
We're going to get into golf.
Yeah.
I'm curious to know we met about an hour ago. You walked in here. We're at this TaylorMade fitting studio at Santander Golf Course in Madrid. You walked in. I could tell immediately that you're a good person is not really the full description of you. But, you know, when you read quotes about you, everyone says you're very down to earth.
Yeah, well, I am. I'm just a normal person. Just happens to play football with a lot of people watching. So my friends keep me down to earth. Don't worry about that.
You can tell, though. No, I mean, I can tell. There's no air of where's my green room, where's my area, I ordered all of these things, where's the snacks,
I got my water, I'm fine.
You would think with the level of success you've had in your field that you would easily be, I could have seen a chopper landing on the middle of the driving range. I don't know how long was your drive here in the morning, how long is your commute?
No, I came straight from training, so it was about 25 minutes.
All right,
it's not too bad.
See, but in America there'd be a different mode of transportation, and maybe that's just me being an American, the celebrity associated with things.
I guess it's kind of whatever you feel like you want to do. I feel like I'm quite happy to just get changed in front of everybody and and off it goes. Nothing no one's seen before. So
your parents both live in the same house that they raised you in.
Yeah.
Your dad works in a high school.
Used to. Yeah.
And your mom, similar job.
She used to work as an estate agent and then as a secretary to a solicitor. So, just a normal background. Yeah.
As normal as you can get.
Yeah. Yeah. Just two working parents trying to provide for their kids and their family. And yeah, just a regular person.
You offered to buy them a house, I'm assuming, and they said no.
Yeah, they have all their friends and all family around them. They're just comfortable where they are, and yeah, they just don't want to move. Yeah, there's been offers, don't get me wrong, but they're happy where they are.
Yeah, I feel like most athletes kind of we were talking to Harold Varner the other day, tour player, and he grew up with nothing, right? And bought his parents a house, and they're so excited about it. And he put a driving range on the back of their house so they can like hang out together. You offered to buy them a house, they said no. So then you went and did your own golf thing at your house in Cardiff.
Yeah. So I'd always wanted to buy my house in Cardiff, and I always wanted land, and always wanted to build a golf course. I wanted to put a tennis court. I was a kid, young kid wanting to
build a golf course. That's what you just said. That's so exciting.
No, it was. It is still. But the thing is, I'm never really home in Cardiff. So what I decided to do was build three holes first, because if I build 18 and I'm never there, it's going to be a lot of maintenance, a lot of waste, really. So I thought, if I build three holes, see if I like it, see how it goes, see if I like having it in my house for one. And then obviously if I do move back and that's kind of where we decide to kind of settle down after football, then we can build more. We have the land to do it. So, but yeah, it's whenever I go home now, we play with my friends. We have three par threes. We always play for drinks or whoever's paying for food or whatever and just have a laugh.
Three par threes. You left out a tiny detail. there's a tiny detail. They're not just any par threes.
No, we based them off three holes that I really like. 17th at Sawgrass, which every golfer knows about. So we've had to call it the replica of, because it's not exact same dimensions, because I think for some purpose we're not allowed to do that. So
wait, they called you and they're like, you can't call it?
No, but I think it's just you're not allowed to do it for some reason. So it's a little bit smaller, the green, which actually makes it a bit harder. so then when I actually went to play Sawgrass, the green felt massive.
right.
Which I hit the green, which was obviously good. So we've got the 17th at Sawgrass. We've got the postage stamp at Royal Troon. And we've got the 12th at Augusta. But with Augusta, we haven't got the water at the front yet, because we didn't want to put the water in until we moved back, because it's more closer to the house and we didn't want any problems. So there's a place for the water for Race Creek to go, I guess.
But right.
We haven't put that water in on that hole yet.
That's those are three good holes.
Yeah.
Those are very good.
Not bad.
I'm struggling to think of another one that you could add to it. I mean, I guess what's going to be the fourth one, actually? You must have thought about it.
Well, no, because the next we would probably try and put a par four or par five if we were to go next. So, yeah, I haven't really got that far. We thought about things, but we thought of a few. The par five, it's the 15th Augusta, the one over the water we hit down.
Sure.
We have the perfect spot for that to do it, but obviously until I come back to Wales, obviously that's not going to happen. But we have a few ideas to fit a few holes in.
I have to ask you, have you played Augusta?
No, I haven't, no.
I mean, I have to imagine it's a phone call away.
I've got ways to get on, but I feel like I want to be better before I go and play. I want to try and be as good as I can, because I don't want to waste the experience of hacking the ball around kind of thing.
I saw you hit balls. How much better do you need to get? You're pretty good, man.
I know, but I don't practice.
What's your handicap right now?
I'm between a three and a four at the moment. But I don't play in any tournaments. I don't practice. I just, whenever I have a day, I'll just go and play 18 holes with my friends or my own or whatever.
You're golf for you takes up maybe a complicated reality. And this is something that if you're listening to this, you're probably, and you don't live in Madrid or you don't follow football, you don't know what I'm talking about. But am I right? It's slightly complicated for you to play golf.
Well, you wouldn't think it would be, but yeah, a lot of people have problems with me playing golf. I don't know what their reason is, because I've spoken to doctors and this, that, the other, and everybody's fine with it. But especially the media have this perception that it's not good for me. You should be resting. It can cause problems, injuries, as where I've looked in America, people play on, for example, I know Steph Curry plays maybe on the morning of his game.
You heard it on my podcast.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Stefan Andre Iguodala, yeah, played in the morning.
Yeah, and I've seen other things, and here if I play 2 days before a game, it's like, what's he doing?
Yeah, but the fans of Real Madrid are not interested in your golf game.
No, not at all. No.
What about off season? You're fine.
Yeah, off season is golf every day, two times a day, three times a day.
Golf trip. You're a golf trip guy.
Yeah, I am.
Do you like to travel?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
What's your favorite part about traveling?
Just going to other places, kind of just seeing, yeah, for me, seeing other golf courses, because courses in America to back home in Wales or in the UK is completely different. There's more links style in the UK, is where in America, this lush green, it's like target golf. The sand is just white. It's just
your face is lighting up like you prefer golf in America. Is that true?
No, I do. Yeah. 100%.
Yeah, you really love it.
Yeah. Because I was growing up, I didn't really play too much golf in the UK. I never really got into it until more I came out here. So
what, why did you get into golf?
It's kind of like, in the UK, it's kind of every footballer kind of grows up and then they play golf. And you kind of then, when you get to that team and there's a group of boys who play golf, you kind of just go out with them. And that's kind of how I started. And then, yeah, when I moved over here, the weather's obviously a million times better. And
right.
Obviously can play golf a lot more, and yeah, just every time I played I got better, and just the bug came, as everybody knows, the golf bug just keeps going and going and going.
It really does.
And yeah, I'm even more got the bug now than ever. So
you're a righty at golf.
Yeah.
But are you like a lefty in football?
In football, yeah. So I'm left footed, right handed.
You hit your left foot.
Yeah.
The story that got me was you're so good with your left foot that when you were in high school, your teacher said you can't use it.
Yeah.
That's funny. Did that piss you off?
No, it was not funny. That's what I was going to say. It was not funny for me.
That would have pissed me off. I'd be like, let me use my left foot.
Yeah. So when he was, because obviously in the PE lessons, you'd have a couple of groups. So as soon as he would turn, I was like, left foot, bang, goal. And then they would all moan. And then I'd be like, no, I use my right.
No. Are you really that much worse with your right foot?
Yeah.
You can't use it?
No, I can use it, but it's more for standing on.
So if you're lefty, your favorite side of the goal to be on is on the left side of the goal?
I prefer to like hit it to the right. I kind of like whipping it, if you get what I mean.
That's what it's called, a whip?
Yeah, kind of, yeah.
So for like in golf, that's called a cut, if you're right.
It's probably more of a draw.
Oh, you like to hit a draw?
Yeah.
All right, we're going to...
The draw has more pace on it, basically.
See, the thing is, if we start talking about football, you're going to get bored really quick because I don't know anything about it.
Yeah.
I'm completely useless.
Let's go back to golf.
You're like, please, let's get back into golf. What's your shot shape? You hit a bit of a draw?
I like going more straight.
Come on. Don't say that.
No, I try to
go
straight.
Nobody says they hit a straight ball.
No, I don't hit it. I try to hit it.
Why?
But no, I can shape it both ways, but I feel like... If I hit it straight and you get a little bit of a fade, you're still in the fairway. If you get a bit of a draw, you're still in the fairway. So I like to play more of a straight ball than anything.
This is where I'm wondering if you're lying to me about your handicap. Because no one says they want to hit a straight ball. Because seriously, I mean, have you talked to someone about this? I feel like do you have a swing coach?
Nope.
Okay, we need to get you a swing coach. Seriously though, because you got to take one side of this golf course out of play.
Yeah, no, I agree. But the right is always, I never hit it right. I find it impossible to hit. Like if a anything, slice. I just hook it. I can't hit a...
I saw you hit a slice.
Yeah.
That
was my
you
driver.
Hit a slice
that
was, 1 hour ago.
Yeah, but that was just with my driver at the moment because it's in my head.
We're working on the driver. You got the new sim.
Yeah.
You got the 10.5 degree.
Yeah. And the same shaft as you.
And we're working with the same shaft.
Yeah.
That makes me feel great.
Yeah. Well,
you But but the straight ball I'm still having problems wrapping my head around it.
Yeah, I just like to play this. I just, whenever I hit a good drive, it goes quite straight.
Yeah, I don't have that. I don't have that in my bag.
It's good to have.
But Tiger doesn't hit a straight ball.
No, of course, but I just seem to, when I hit my driver well, it goes very straight, which is what I like. But then at the moment, the last 3 weeks, my swing's just gone a little bit, my driver. But everything else seems to be all right.
We're going to play a match.
Yeah.
We're about the same handicap.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll play straight up.
Yeah.
I feel like you have the advantage.
Why?
Well, because you're a highly talented professional athlete. You don't have jet lag.
I'll give you that one.
I landed in Madrid this morning.
I thought it was going to be, this is the course you play on a lot, but then I've got a lot of scar tissue from this course.
Yeah, I've got memories.
It can go both ways.
Now, so here's the thing. We'll play, typically speaking, it's we need to determine what we're going to play for today.
Okay.
So what do you want to play for?
I don't really know.
So this is I'd like to introduce an idea that I had on the way over here.
Okay.
With golf, you handicap the ability. So yeah. If I was a little worse than you, you would give me a stroke.
Yeah.
What if we handicapped the match stakes? So what's your net worth?
Hundreds
of millions of pounds, not even dollars. My net worth is less than $1 million. Dollars and pounds. So if I maybe wager $100.
The good thing is I don't bet.
You don't bet? Now you tell me.
I do, but I bet for like 10 pounds.
See, I'm thinking, okay, so I'll bet. Oh, so that means I'll wager you 10 cents. My 10 cents is your $10. Wait, why don't you like to gamble? Why don't you like to bet on the golf course? Coming from someone who also doesn't like to.
I just don't. I prefer to just pay for like drinks or some food.
Right. Cover this.
Yeah. Like whoever loses, or I'll pay for 20 euros or something.
Right.
Something that's not going to really annoy the other person if they lose or vice versa.
What's the nicest thing that you've done now that you have this sort of, where now that you're in the realm of anything's possible?
What's the nicest thing I've done
for someone else?
I try to look after my family a lot. So, yeah, mainly doing things for them. We're in the process of trying to start to do other things now further afield for charities and stuff. Because the problem is my time, I don't have a lot. And if I'm going to start something, I want to kind of be all in. So at the moment, we haven't started because I haven't got the time to put into it to maybe get it to where we want to do. So, yeah, that's something that I want to do when I come closer to retirement. Yeah, but at the moment, just kind of looking after my family, my sister, my parents, my wife's sister, her parents. So, yeah, just looking after family and friends, really.
Because you're not like fancy, you're not wearing a watch. Are you a watch guy?
I have them, but the more we get them when we win a trophy. So
they're not really you. You're not like, I want this watch.
No.
Not a Lamborghini outside. You got an SUV.
Yeah.
I see them all over LA. You're not a flashy guy.
No, not really, no. Not really.
Just golf. Yeah. I just want to hit a straight ball.
Straight ball.
At some course in America.
Yeah, and spend time with my family. That's all I need. Golf and family and friends, and I'm a happy man. You know, Very simple.
I heard the story the other day about a investment banker who was down in Mexico, like in some little fishing village, and he was out there kicking the soccer ball with his son, and some other guy was down there kicking the soccer ball with his son. And they started talking, and the investment banker asked the other guy, the Mexican guy who lives there, he says, what do you do? He says, I'm a fisherman. And he says, yeah, you know, I wake up in the morning, have breakfast with my wife and kids. Then I go catch some fish. I come back, have dinner with my wife and kids, watch the sunset. It's great. And the fisherman says to the banker, he says, what do you do? He says, I've got, 10 companies. I'm worth like $10 billion, this and that. And the guy says, well, what do you want to do? And he says, I want to basically come down here, wake up and have breakfast with my wife, go fishing, come back and have dinner with them, and watch the sunset. And I thought about that and I was like, there's really only so many things that you can do that aren't more important than your family and enjoying your time.
For sure. And that's why I love my golf. I love spending time with my family and my kids and my wife and my friends and yeah, that's basically all I do because it's what makes me happy. I don't really like, you have a stage when I was younger, I bought some cars and yeah, kind of really got out of my system very quick and realized it's more of a waste of money than anything. So yeah, I just like doing the things that I want to do and enjoy doing. And yeah, I think the best ways to do it is, like I said, we go on holiday every year with my friends. We do a golf tournament every year that like I pay for, and we all go and just have a laugh. We do it every year. Then I go on holiday with my family, and then it's back to training again. So I have a very simple life, and I'm very happy just being very simple.
You said that golf makes you happy. Do you think that you're in the minority? Golf is a frustrating game for a majority of people, I would say.
Yeah, no, it is. But I've never been one to really have a temper on the golf course. And a few of my friends, I've seen some clubs over some trees. I've actually got a video on my phone at this golf course, because at the start, my friend used to live here with me for a couple of years because just helped me settle in. And it was on the second hole. He's launched his club. It's got stuck in the tree. So I'm like, for one, why have you got so frustrated? It's the second hole.
Yeah.
And he only made a bogey.
All it was.
Yeah, but his head goes very quickly. So his club's stuck up in the tree. And then I was like, get your phone out, start videoing. So he drives the buggy up the tree. I'm like, you ain't going to be able to get that. So he gets on the roof of the buggy, still can't reach it. So then I was like, do you want a rake? He was like, yeah, give it here now, like very angrily. So I give him the rake and I'm recording him now and thinking, sending this straight into the WhatsApp group. First thing I want to do. And he was like, if you better start recording, I'll throw this rake at your head.
Whoa.
I was like, I'll back off a little bit.
You're like, body's pretty important.
And he's literally poking his club, finally got it down, and his head just, second hole, completely gone. And I just find that I don't get like that.
Oh, by the way, if you're listening to the podcast, you can watch it on YouTube. Gareth's got great style. Adidas. Do you want to do an ad for Adidas right now? They sponsor the podcast. Talk about your shoes.
I am. I'm already sponsored by them.
Yeah, no, you're good. No, but I mean a podcast ad. I usually go in and I say,
this is only
chaos.
My second ever podcast. I don't really know what a podcast that is.
Your first one was 10 minutes before this with Chris Trotty.
So I'm not really.
No, but we're wearing the same shoes right now.
The Code Chaos.
Can you get a shot of this? This is not planned.
No, it wasn't. No.
I came to Spain with one pair of shoes, and they're the same exact pair that you have. Tell me about your golf shoes, because you wear Adidas golf shoes.
Yeah, I've always worn Adidas.
I dropped the recorder. Okay, back to Gareth's first podcast ad read. This is big. This is big money.
No, this
you
is.
You could make a lot of money from this. This could be your next thing.
Well, I've already got a sponsorship with them.
You're already good. Well, you can build them an extra $100.
Well, you know. But I do like the new shoes. They've just brought the Code Chaos. I've got them in white and I'm black over there.
I don't have the black ones.
I've got blue ones. And have you seen the ones with the white? Well, they're more gray, but they've got.
Here's the.
I wore these yesterday. Love it, too.
Did you say you bought those or you got them?
No, I got them. Okay. I wore them yesterday, though.
What was the last thing you bought? I'm just curious. Like in a store, not food or anything. Did you buy clothes? What do you like to buy?
My wife buys my clothes.
Your wife buys your clothes.
Yeah, I get them from Zara or.
She dresses you.
Pretty much. She's at the shop and she goes, do you want anything? I'm like, oh, just a couple of pairs of jeans, a few t-shirts.
She knows what she wants. And ultimately, you're just getting dressed for her anyway, right?
Yeah, I'm not impressing anyone else.
Because you on your own, you're good with sweats, I feel like.
Oh, every day into training.
I'm the same.
It's just, why do I want to travel in uncomfortable clothes, 20 minutes of training, take them off? Put them back on, go 20 minutes home and take them off.
Yeah, just wear the same thing.
Just put a tracksuit on.
Okay, so we're going to play a match. You're going to buy some drinks at the end if you lose. I'm going to buy some drinks at the end if I lose.
No problem.
I feel like we can do better than that. I feel like we can do better.
I would say we could play for the new shoes, but you've already got a pair.
I have them. It's the only thing in my life I do have.
We could play for the other
black pair. What size shoe are you?
These are 10 and a half.
We have the same size foot.
I'm normally a 10, but in golf shoes, I seem to be 10.
Your
and a
foot
half.
is worth a little more than mine.
Well, the one is.
Is your foot, is the left foot insured? It's got to be.
It is, yeah. It is.
Because your left foot is the follow through foot. Because you're righty.
Yeah. But all my problems have been on my right foot.
Really?
With operations.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Why is that? Is that because where you stop and.
No, I've just been hit on the right foot.
So other players.
Because I've always got the ball on my left. So obviously I keep the ball away from someone and they come through on the right and normally hit me.
Slide tackle.
Yeah, basically. But I have had, I have injured my right ankle a few times. I've snapped, I've got no ligaments in the outside of both ankles.
Really?
What do you mean? Snapped. So someone would like hit you like that, and then you obviously bend your foot. And
wait, can I feel it?
Well, no, because it's in your ankle, but it's kind of
gone. I wouldn't notice.
No, you probably wouldn't notice. Oh, okay. No.
I'm not a doctor. You can tell.
I'm probably closer.
They might I dropped out of high school. What was your favorite subject in school outside of football?
I was always good at like athletic. It was always just sport.
Yeah.
And every teacher used to go to me, you have to have a, like another plan. I'm like, yeah, no.
No. No, you're like, no, Gareth Bale has one plan. And it's to break the record.
Which I never thought I'd ever do. I never even thought about it when I was younger. It was more just, all I wanted to do was be a professional footballer. I didn't want to, I never planned to try and get to this level. I just wanted to play for Southampton where I was at. I just wanted to be a professional footballer and make it for the first team there. And that was like my goal. And I think I said before, like I've just seemed to keep making the goals so I can reach them, then I get to the next one. So it's always, I've always got something to kind of keep my motivation and go for. And it's been helpful to me because I think by having a goal, it kind of gives you that motivation, the drive to get there. Once you achieve it, you have to set the next. And if you don't set one, it's like you feel a bit lost. Where do I go from here? What do I do? So,
right.
Yeah, I've always just had those little goals and they've just been getting bigger and bigger and bigger.
Yeah, because in the UK, you can, there's so many different leagues and teams that you could go play for a team and earn the same as a teacher salary.
You could pay somebody to play.
What do you mean?
Well, some of my friends, you have to pay to play.
Oh, you lose money to play.
Money,
oh,
yeah.
I see.
You have to pay subs.
You're right. That is a very low goal. That is very attainable.
That's a low one. But if you enjoy it, that's what you do. Well, that's what I do for golf.
So I think I know why you love golf. Is your love of football different or the same?
It's different now because it's a job, I guess, is where golf now is. Like I can go out and just be on my own and just smile. I've got no pressure apart from myself. Just hit a ball, walk to it or drive to it. And just, yeah, just it's just fun. Play with your friends. You can play different games and there's just no pressure, no stress. Normally nice weather here, so.
You know, that's so interesting because I have the opposite.
Yeah, but your job's golf.
See, but you think it is. I mean, it kind of is.
Yeah.
The irony is my job is to seem like I'm playing a lot of golf.
Yeah.
And I have found that in some ways, I mean, don't get me wrong. I always enjoy playing golf and it's always very fun. But by the sheer quantity of time that I spend thinking and playing and talking and walking around golf courses and traveling to golf courses, you know, my one friend, I had dinner with him in LA last night and he said, you know, there's this course in Washington State called Gamble Sands. It's a very good course that's not very popular. It's like Bandon Dunes. And his fiance has a house right across the street from it. It's very beautiful and peaceful. He says, let's go to Gamble Sands. It's a 3-hour flight for me and a 2-hour drive. I can't think of anything I want to do less than get on a plane to go play a golf course. No joke. And the sad part about that is that that wasn't me. The original Eric was like, I will fly
anywhere.
7 flights. I'll sit in seat 9,702 with 9-hour layover. I'll eat
nothing.
Peanut M&Ms. Nothing. You know, I'll drink the faucet water in the bathroom. I'll play the Twilight Tea Time, maybe. Yeah. With a recycled golf ball. All of these things were just like, it was a natural because I loved it and it was an escape for me. Now it's just very different, you know, and now it's a business now.
Yeah, that's what it does become. And I think for me, like with us, we get a lot of pressure every game. If you don't play well, there's scrutiny. There's like, I've had 80,000 people in the stadium whistling me because I haven't played well.
Whistle?
Like, it's kind
that's
of
bad?
Well, yeah, it's not great.
It's not great. It's not great.
I've had it a few times as well. But the first time was a bit like, oh, what is this?
Wait, the whistling is like a boo?
Yeah, basically this over here, they whistle. It's kind of a thing.
Oh, and it's like super weird sounding, I bet.
It's not nice.
80,000 people
and it
whistling.
Doesn't do your confidence that great, that really? Good a deal either. But
why would your home fans do that? That's really brutal.
This is the biggest question, and I just don't get it, because you would expect, if you're not having a good time on the pitch, you would expect your fans to get behind you and try and make you do better because it'll make them happy. But it seems to be that they do the opposite. They just whistle you, which consequently makes you feel worse. You lose your confidence, and then you play worse, which is going to make them even more upset. So,
have you talked to John Rahm about this? I feel like he would have some insight.
Yeah, he probably knows. It's kind of a Real Madrid thing. It's kind of, other clubs do it, but it's especially known.
Well, because Rahm is like a hothead.
But he's an Athletic Bilbao. He's from Bilbao, the north.
So which
they're
I'm
more
ignorant.
Of a family, they're more like of a kind of family club.
Right.
They only play players there from that were born in that area. So it's kind of like...
That's an unusual...
Yeah, it's very, very... I don't think there's another club that does it, really.
Interesting.
So,
it's which, to their detriment, though.
In a way, but they sell their players for a lot of money because they can't afford... They have to find someone before they can sell them from that region.
Right.
So if they sell them, they sell them for a lot of money because...
Right.
They don't really buy anybody because everyone comes through their youth team. So...
Interesting.
In a way, it's quite... As long as you've got good players, it's a good thing to do.
But, you know, golf doesn't have that negative rooting.
No, exactly.
Unless you're Patrick Reed, I guess, which is...
Yeah, but then that's more of something that maybe you did rather than...
Yeah. Oh, I see what you're
like,
saying, yeah.
For example, if I've just... I might have missed an easy chance to score a goal, and then the whistles come and you're like, my confidence is already down because I've just missed an easy goal.
Yeah,
and
by
now
the way.
It's just going even more down, which the next time it comes, it just the goal seems... It's like a putt, and the goal just gets smaller.
The goal gets smaller. So that's really interesting. I can see why golf for you probably gives you something very different than it gives me.
Yeah.
It gives you complete isolation almost.
Yeah, no, it's really nice. And normally you would think the etiquette on the course, if someone was to see me, they wouldn't come over. But some do, some don't. But it's just nice to be on the course and just get away from everything. Just like I play with a few friends or even if sometimes I go and play on my own, just put some music on. And just go and play 18 holes and just really just kind of relax and get away from everything. I don't have to think about football, especially if it's not going well.
Do you believe that golf actually helps your football?
I do, yeah. A lot of people think no.
Not many people in Spain do.
No, but golf, yeah, it more keeps you mentally, it keeps me more fresher because if you're playing football, you come home, you're watching football, you're listening to other people speak about football, it can get too much and it can be like, it can cause you mental problems for sure.
Yeah, no psychologist is going to tell you to focus 100% of your energy mentally on
one
thing.
I've read about things and what other people have done and yeah, I just know myself, I feel like I have a good kind of routine where, yeah, I'm able to just get away from everything. Like my time on the course, yeah, I love doing it, but the added bonus is I can get away from everything, get away from football. And especially if things are going bad, I can just be out there and just not think about anything. Just have a ball, some green grass, a few bunkers.
Right.
And yeah, it's just nice to get away from everything and just have a nice game of golf with no stress and pressure.
What is, in golf, aside from the results, aside from making a birdie or... like hitting a perfect drive. What's your favorite like sensation in golf that doesn't have to do with results?
I just like going out to play. Like just thinking I've got 18 holes ahead of me. It's just being away from everything and you can really just kind of get away from the football, get away from anything negative that's going on and then, yeah, you can kind of reset your mind and kind of the next day you feel a bit more fresher and ready to go and you're ready to concentrate and feel better about football again.
Yeah, it's almost like therapy, right? Is that you sort of get a chance to let the things settle without sitting there focusing on the problem.
Yeah, and definitely, as I said, mainly if things are going bad, that's probably the biggest example to use that, yeah, if you've had a bad game, then you've got the next day off. You don't want to sit at home thinking, oh, I should have done this, should have done that. It's not healthy for anybody. So yeah, to go out on the golf course, you're able just to forget about everything, unwind, not have just like that buildup of negative thoughts and getting on top of yourself. You can just go out, play golf, really relax, unwind. And then, yeah, when you have to come back to then thinking about football, you're a lot more fresher.
Right.
And you can just really then concentrate and you're ready to go again.
So as far as football, what is the sensation that is like really pleasant to you that doesn't have to do with results?
I think the thing with football now is everything's based around results. That's the problem. It's like if you're a professional golfer, everything's just based off results. The thing is, you might in football, you might play amazing, not score for five games, and then everyone say, "Oh, I'm just having a terrible time." And it's like, and you think to yourself, "I've been playing well. I just haven't scored or I haven't assisted. I've been working hard for the team." But people don't. They just like goals. They just like assists. They just like wow things. And sometimes that doesn't always happen. But it's like a golfer when they're playing well, but they maybe just not scoring well. That's kind of how it is in football. And the thing is now everything's based on results. If you go and play terrible, but you go and score two goals, oh, 10 out of 10. And it's like, but even when I do that, I play terrible and then I go and score two goals and I'm like, oh, so bad. But then you go and like, everyone will go, oh, great game. I'm like, oh, I played so bad.
Interesting.
Which in football, everything's based off results. You can have three tap-ins and not touch the ball all game, but you can be an amazing player. But from my point of view, I people can have their own opinions. As long as I know I've tried my best and I've played as well as I can, then I'm happy with that. I remember when I was younger, I first came through at Southampton, where my first team that I made it to the first team. And obviously I was 16 when I made my debut. I just kind of played my first few games and you kind of read the newspaper, you read the match report and you haven't played so well. And it said, oh, you had a terrible game and your confidence just goes like that. And I remember speaking to my mum, she was like, you shouldn't read, just don't read anything.
Whoa.
And
just read like books, like Darwin.
But like, just don't read because everyone has their opinion. Like you might have played well, not scored. Someone will write a terrible thing, but you might have played terrible, scored and they write something good. But it's just people's opinions. If you know you've played well, but people maybe think you haven't, I think that's the most important thing as an athlete to know, to have that self kind of, right, I did good, even though what they say, I don't care. As long as I know, it keeps my confidence there.
Probably even, not even an athlete. I mean, even well, for me,
yeah,
I feel like.
I'm just looking from an athlete's perspective. Sure. Yeah, for sure, in any walk of life, but.
Do you have like a personal Instagram account just with friends and family?
No, I just,
have you thought about it?
No, I don't. I just
I want you to
WhatsApp.
Make one of those. 100 followers, private.
it would be nice, but
what do you got? You got like 45 million followers on Instagram,
something like that.
There's millions and millions of people.
Yeah, it's where I am involved in it.
Yeah,
like if they need a video or a picture or whatever I'm doing, right. Whatever.
But you're not scrolling through reading the comments.
Oh, no. But I think it's healthy as an athlete not to go on there because just by reading, there might be 1,000 amazing comments.
Yeah.
If there's that one bad one, you're just going to focus on that one bad one and it's going to hurt your confidence, which then will affect you in your job. So why would you bother?
Yeah.
And for the mental side of it, there's just no point in doing it.
So let's bring that back to golf. Mentally speaking, how do you approach the game of golf to give you the most amount of success?
It sounds weird, but the last year, whenever I play bad, I actually enjoy trying to get it back.
Wait, like on the fourth hole, you're like, oh, double bogey. This is our go time.
Yeah. But like, I might be, for example, I played yesterday and I hit my drive so bad, but I just found it interesting to try and get it back.
The like, drive or the ball?
So I was hitting my driver bad. I'd hit one fairway with my driver.
One fairway?
With my
out of 14.
No, but I hit 4-iron 4 times and a rescue, which I hit the fairway.
Okay.
So I hit 6 fairways yesterday, one with my driver.
Wow.
And I missed the rest. Anyway, but I quite enjoy now, instead of getting frustrated and going, I quite enjoy trying to figure it out, how to get my driver back. And then coming down 18, what do? I straight down the middle.
Oh, really?
So I quite enjoy that as we used to before. I would get frustrated and I'd swing quicker and I'd get angry. Not angry as where I'd throw clubs, but just get frustrated within yourself. As we're now, I quite enjoy trying to get it back to where it was.
How do you think you got to that state of mind?
By learning that getting mad and doesn't help any whatsoever because you just get worse and worse and worse until you calm down. So
seems like footballers do experience benefits from getting mad. True or false?
Yeah, but yeah, definitely. Because if I'm not playing well and I get angry, at least you just get that. As long as you're giving effort, you give more effort when you're angry because I think it's just natural. But yeah, sometimes anger on the football pitch has helped me a lot because it's more of a physical contact game. You can be more aggressive and then you might win a couple of balls in a tackle. And yeah, it definitely helps you in soccer.
Not so much. I appreciate that. Thank you.
You're welcome.
You must have some sort of like translation or, you know, a calculation, right? You spend most of your life engaged in a team sport where you're an individual standout. Golf, you're an amateur, but it's all you.
Yeah.
It's kind of an interesting...
Yeah, I know. And it's a nice change because in a team, it's not, you're not relying just on you. Like, you can play amazing, and if the other 10 play terrible, you're not going to win probably 999 times out of 1,000.
Right.
But in golf, if you play well, you have the whole chance of winning. It's just you rely on yourself. You don't have to rely on anyone else. But then at the same time, if you play bad and the other 10 play good, they save you sometimes. So there are pluses and negatives. But no, I just like the fact that it's different. It's not a team sport mainly. And yeah, I can just play my own ball and yeah, just enjoy having no pressure of anyone else.
When you kick the ball as hard as you can, how fast does the ball go? Do you know miles per hour?
I did it a while ago. I'm not sure.
It's got to be, what do you know?
We did that thing when we went to the Adidas lab in Germany. We did, they created a new app. I can't remember. It's probably on YouTube somewhere.
I mean, it's got to be like 70 miles an hour, right?
Oh, it's over 100.
Over 100?
Yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah, it was...
Because you're looking for speed, right?
Yeah, but I think accuracy is probably more important.
Right.
Because if you go and smash it 100 miles an hour straight at the keeper...
Yeah.
I'd rather hit it 80 miles an hour in the corner. He's got no hope.
What's your favorite corner? Are you allowed to tell?
Well, it depends if the goalkeeper's a list.
You must have a favorite corner. Look at a goal and just
the upper right-hand
upper
side.
Upper right, yeah?
Yeah, upper right.
I don't know why I got that.
It's always better the right. Left. It's like... all the right-hand side is my favorite side.
Because you're coming in with the left foot.
Because you can hit it harder going... It's like a draw goes further than a fade. So you go harder.
And it's also probably bigger. There's more room.
Yeah.
Whereas with your left foot on the left side of the goal, it's like...
And plus for the right side, you started on the inside of the goal going away from it.
Right.
Where if you go to the other side, you have to start it outside the post to get it in because you curl it.
Interesting.
You draw it.
Are most football players left foot or right foot?
Most are right-footed.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know what it'd probably be a good stat to actually look up to see because it's like left hand and right hand.
Could this be why you're so expensive is the left foot?
It does help for sure because in a team you'd normally need if you were going perfect position, like obviously you don't know formations in football, but you would need...
How do you know?
You probably normally need four left footers in a team if you were going perfectly.
And you're running up the left side.
Yeah.
Right.
But now I play on the right because I cut in and shoot rather than go down the line and cross it.
They change your position.
So you can do it different ways. Like I started on the left, but now I'm playing on the right. So
by the way, the football community is going to start trolling me now.
Yeah, I know.
I'm going to get it.
You might get some more followers, but, but you might get some stick for it at the same time.
Oh my God. All right, let's go play some golf. Sun's going to set pretty soon here. I think we're going to do Ace Cam.
Oh yes. I like Ace Cam.
We're going to park on a par three. How many hole in ones do you have?
Absolutely zero.
I would think with three par threes in your background.
I would think the same thing as well, but it just hasn't materialized.
Cause I mean a hole in one, I mean, there's no goalie.
But in my defense, my greens are AstroTurf.
Ah, so the ball doesn't sit.
So it does spin. If you hit it perfectly, you'll get some spin or if the wind's correct. But more or less, it'll check and it won't really run out or it won't spin back so much. So it's more difficult. But I did that for maintenance reasons because I don't want to be spending $100,000 a year just looking after three greens and I'm not there for
that. You play 90 times. Yeah.
So, but yeah, I've been close a few times. I've hit the pin. I've spun and gone. Yeah. It just feels like it's never coming.
Well, I love that you're into golf. I'm so excited that we're here together. I'm so excited that we're in this, that TaylorMade brought us out. We've got this wonderful fitting studio. It was great to watch you hit some shots.
Thank you.
I'm excited to go play.
And me.
is there any questions you have for me before we get out? And we're about to be, We're about to hate each other. It's about to be full opponent.
Well, that might be you. I enjoy my opponents.
I'm kidding. I would prefer if you win, to be honest with you. I'm on a losing streak here. I was undefeated for a while. I beat Rick Shields, Peter Finch, a couple others, and then Brian Baumgartner's he's a hustler. We actually tied. Andre Iguodala beat me pretty soundly, and then Jim Fish, the CEO of Waste Management. He beat me, like, I think the match to cut pretty short. I would love it if we could tie. I'm not asking you to fix the match or anything.
It could be sorted.
But I don't.
I didn't make a money gesture.
I can't afford it. I can't afford it. Do you have any questions for me before we end the pod?
Not really. I haven't really prepared anything, but
I will say, while you think about it, to the people listening, to my friends listening to the podcast, to the people listening on YouTube, one of the biggest compliments of my life, walking in here and you said, I've seen some of your videos. Yeah. I don't know. To me, that meant a lot.
And my wife goes, are you watching him again?
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
I enjoy it. I think what you do is really good. I like the videos are really cool watching them, especially the Ace Cam. I love Ace Cam.
Get
Such
ready.
Such a great idea.
We did a whole series of Ace Cam videos with all of the TaylorMade staff players. Well, except for Tiger and Rory and Rom. But we did it with DJ, Jason Day, and Colin Morikawa, Bo Hostler, Maria Fassi. And, it was really fun to see players of that level firing at the pin over and over. We'll get a chance to do that today.
Okay. Sounds fun.
I would love for you to get. I mean, if you get a hole in one,
I would love to get one as well.
If you get a, I mean, oh, I can't wait to tease it out a little bit. One of the TaylorMade players got a hole in one. Don't say.
Okay. Yeah.
I told you earlier.
Yeah. Yeah. No. I know. I won't say.
You
anything.
Can't tell.
I won't say anything.
Don't tell. If you go on your Instagram and tell 45 bazillion people,
I can't get on it.
You can't even log in.
Password.
You don't even have your login.
No. Nope.
I love it.
No, let's I definitely go, can't read anything.
Let's go live on your story. All right, everybody. So thank you so much, Gareth.
Thank you for having me.
You can follow Gareth Bale, but he won't know. he won't even know. Okay. All right, we'll see you on the golf course in 2 seconds. Thanks for listening, everybody. All right, folks, Adidas. Adidas is pushing the boundaries once again in golf footwear. And if you've been counting, I haven't been counting. It's a lot of times. But they're doing it again, so whatever many times it's been, it's at one. So you need to check this out. It's called the Code Chaos, all capitals. The footwear team let me know that this shoe is meant to break down traditional stereotypes and make a statement that there doesn't have to be one look for the sport when it comes to golf footwear. It's athletic and bold from a style standpoint, but this shoe is seriously packed with technology. It's spikeless, but beyond just being tested with guys like DJ and Xander, they did heat map studies. Heat map. That means they know where you are right now. They literally know. And watch, I'm telling you, you're going to get an ad for Adidas footwear in your feed. I'm telling you, and it's not me. I don't know if it's them. It's probably Xander, not DJ. Xander's got an X in his name, so he's a little more sinister. Even though I would probably feel more likely that DJ would really... He could do some damage with the club to my face. So to see how players shift their weight, they use this heat mapping technology to see where they shift their weight, but also where you are physically at this current moment throughout the swing. So anyway, with all that info, they created a new traction system called Twist Grip. Twist Grip. That's spelled the way it sounds. Anyway, so the players get the grip they need exactly where they need it. And this is an ad lib and when they need it. I just added that. It's waterproof. Waterproof is key. Let's get honest, folks. If you want a waterproof shoe, unless you live in the desert, you can wear sandals or moccasins. But for everybody else, you need the waterproof shoe. So hit up the code CHAOS. It's waterproof, lightweight, and obviously has the boost cushioning, which we all love. There's even a high top BOA version, which I'm not sure I'm man enough to rock, but John Rahm is. But he's also... He's very, very good at golf. We can all agree. These things are next level. So get yourself a pair. Head over to adidas.com/codechaos. Spelled the way it sounds. Although the CH in chaos sounds more like a K. So it's CODECHAOS. And shop the styles and follow Adidas Golf on Instagram and Twitter for all the latest news from Les Trois Stripes. That's three stripes, folks.
All right, I'm going to catch me now. We got give me a second. All right, I'm about to do an ad read for Vice Golf. I don't even have a read, so this is an ad lib. This is an ad libbed read. Anyway, Vice Golf. You all know I love the brand. They make a great golf ball, and there are things that I would tell you in person about the golf ball that I can't tell you in a public forum. But basically, the golf ball is amazing. Technically speaking, on test, it performs as good or better than what we call, quote, the best golf ball on tour. Now, the Vice Golf ball also has one cool thing, which is that it's cool. Obviously, the scripting is really sweet. But beyond that, it has another cool thing. I'm going to keep pulling cool things out of this ball. The second cool thing is that you can't get it in a pro shop. So go online, go to vicegolf.com, and get your slick balls. They've got all different types. They've got the tour, they've got the drive, they've got the pro, they've got the pro plus, they've got different colors, and you can also personalize I don't know what number you can personalize, but you can personalize them, whereas other brands don't let you personalize them except for once a year. So check out vicegolf.com, get yourself some smooth and cool balls for the course, that is. Anyway, y'all, see you in the showers until the next ad read.
All right, whoop, folks. Whoop. WHOOP. I think you know what I'm talking about. You've seen Rory wearing it. You may have seen me wearing it, and I'm pretty much into this wearable device, wearable technology, wearable. I like it. At first, I was like not sure if I was going to like having this thing on my wrist, but I'm into it mostly because of the incredible amount of information that it gives me about me and my life and how to perform better. Like, I'm not gonna ever be some amazing athlete, but I do like getting this feedback from my body. So basically, it has inside of it this crazy light that reads not only your heart rate, but all sorts of other things about your body, mostly the time in between heartbeats, the heart rate variability, that's key. Anyway, it provides personalized insights on the performance of your sleep and how recovered your body is and how much stress you put on your body throughout the day from your workouts and the normal stressors of life. Big key takeaway, walking 18 holes, that's a workout, folks. No joke. So anyway, when I get up, I look at my Whoop score. I try to see how I slept last night. And I've tried to incorporate takeaways to get better sleep, and especially when traveling and stuff like that, because rest is really important. And the quality of sleep is really key. So, you know, it has all these, you know, suggestions for getting better sleep. The biggest takeaway is consume a lot of water. Also, I've started exercising more. This thing plugs in great to all of my exercise routines, and I can see exactly where I'm at my max heart rate. It's got a built-in feature with a strain coach that it gives you target exertion goals and work out optimally for the level of intensity. It basically is a personal assistant for your working out. And folks, big deal for you guys. They're offering 15% if you use the code EAL at checkout. That's 15% off WHOOP.com and enter EAL at checkout to get your discount. Sleep better, recover faster, and train smarter. Optimize your performance with Whoop. It's custom tailors to your body. It takes like a little bit of time to get to know you, and then it knows you. And it's fun because I've got a lot of friends that use it, and we talk about it. I'm like, yo, what was your sleep score last night, bro? And basically, it's how early did you go to bed and how early did you wake up and did you get distracted while sleeping? It tracks all four stages of your sleep, slow, wave, REM, light, and when you wake up. And it can tell you how much sleep you've actually gotten down to the minute. So it's like the first thing I do when I wake up is I just check it and I'm like, yo, how did we do last night? And I can tell, I can notice the difference now. And it's kind of like that awareness wasn't really there before using the Whoop strap. The Whoop journal allows you to track the decisions that you make during the day and the impact that those have on your recovery. And basically, guys, Whoop can help anyone perform better, whether it's preparing for a golf match, yo, yeah, race, meeting, etc. Whoop can help plan out your day and make smarter lifestyle decisions to help you feel better than ever. And I can say I have definitely improved in a lot of areas there, whether even now when I walk 18, like I feel better, you know what I mean? And I think part of that is you're just focusing on your body's performance. And this is the tool that gives you the insight to do that. So please go check it out. Support the people that support us. Whoop.com, WHOOP, enter code EAL at checkout to get 15% off.
TaylorMade, folks. I got to tell you, the first golf clubs that ever went in my little old hands were TaylorMade Burner Oversize. They had some crusty old grips that I redid myself, at risk of my own fingertips with the razor, and I got high because this. I don't know if you've ever regripped your clubs, but you become an inhalant addict because you're putting like really noxious stuff. Then don't grip your own clubs unless you really want to. Anyway, mad respect. Give me a fist bump whenever I see you. I grip my own clubs. I put the grips on them myself. I saved. How much did you save? I mean, you could save money. You save money because I think you put them on. It's like $20 each. And you buy the grips yourself. It's like $8. By the way, regripping 14 clubs, I mean, that's like a lot. Go buy TaylorMade's instead. They come with grips. My favorite TaylorMade edition now, obviously, the Sim Max I'm playing is a monster club. One of the many things Tiger Woods have and I in common is playing the Sim. But also, I kind of love the wedges. The raw-faced wedges, MG. I both love the high toe in matte black. I also have a matte black shaft. I know you didn't ask, but I went ahead and told you. Anyway, TaylorMade, my favorite thing about TaylorMade beyond the incredibly performing equipment is the people that make this company up. The band of brothers down here, the band of sisters, the family in Carlsbad really, really gets behind what we do. And that means it's important for you to get behind what they do. So go support TaylorMade, everybody, and hit them straight or just hit them with TaylorMade's though. Just stop messing around with all the others. Hit them straight with TaylorMade, but just hit TaylorMade at least. I mean, if you're not, I mean, just go. I mean, what are you doing? Just pause the pod. Go on TaylorMade. What's their website? They don't even need a website. Just go find TaylorMade ASAP. There should be what? What I play? I play the, okay, studio is asking me to play. I pay the P760s four through pitch. Then I've got the milled grind raw face 50, 54, and 58, and then I rock. I'm in between the Gapper and the Sim Hybrid right now. I play the 2 Gapper. I've got a steel shafted 6.5 Project X in that one, as with all the irons. And then on the driver, I have the Sim Max with a 9 degree. I'm still working on getting my numbers on that. I don't really know. I got the 10.5 and the 9. We're going to do a little experimentation. Maybe, honestly, you know what? Whatever one I don't use, how about it's yours? How about that? I don't know how we're going to manage this. Head over to the Instagram account. Get ready for the old giveaway of the A driver that I can't hit. Anyway, TaylorMade's the family, folks. All right, folks, Precision Pro. One advantage that low handicap golfers have that has nothing to do with the mechanics of their swing, it's that they approach every shot with all the right information. The more informed you are, the better your decision-making process is before you even swang that club. I rely on Precision Pro rangefinders to give me the precise information as I make my way through 18 holes, sometimes 36, MJ. I've carried several of their rangefinders around the world with me, and they've all been easy to use, incredibly fast, and most importantly, it gives me the exact yardage so I can choose the right club. You know, you need those two things. It's a relationship, folks. You can't just hit the same club on every shot, and you can't just hit the same yardage. All golfers need a rangefinder that they can trust. And I'm telling you that my boys over there in Cincinnati, I trust them. And I'm just saying that the Precision Pro is a brand I trust. My listeners also receive $20 off any of their great rangefinders. Just use the promo code ERIC at checkout for an extra $20 off, ERIK, to add to one of their award-winning rangefinders to your bag this summer. You can even put it in your pocket. I do that too. It actually is. It's got a magnet too, and it goes onto your cart. But if you put it on the cart, you might forget it. I've done it, folks. Don't do it to yourself. Don't play yourself like that. Best of all, Precision Pro Golf is the only rangefinder that offers free lifetime battery replacements. So not only are you getting a rangefinder, you're signing up for a lifetime service. It's a commitment. It is a lifetime commitment. You literally hand in hand with Precision Pro. Well, I'm not sure where that came from. Anyway, it's all part of the industry-leading customer service that Precision Pro Golf delivers to every customer. Booyah! Swing with confidence, hit more greens, Swing with confidence, hit more greens with Precision Pro Golf. Later. What's up, friends? What's up, compadres? All right, folks. Jones Golf Bags. My friends over at Jones Bags and Grayson Clothiers have come together to bring you something really cool and very exciting. And it's not ice cubes, folks. It's over the next few weeks, they will be doing an Instagram contest where the winner will get a lot of cool references, folks. Clearly, it's cold up in the Pacific Northwest. I know Grayson is based in Detroit, otherwise known as Detroit. Charlie, great guy. These are all good people. $200 gift card is a winner going to get from each company. Wow. I'm struggling. As well as a FaceTime lesson, this is pretty chill, with none other than the former number one golfer in the world, Luke Donald, folks. Luke is a huge fan of both Jones and Grayson Clothiers and would love nothing more than to help you improve your golf game from the comfort of his own home, your own home. I guess you'll both be at home. You're not going to his house, I'll tell you that. I mean, I know maybe you could slide into Luke Donald's DMs, but I don't know if you could, actually. If you slide into Luke Donald's DMs and he responds to you, text me a screenshot. Okay, I'm sure we could all use an extra golf lesson at this time. That is very true. I was all over the place this morning. It was like scrambled eggs without a pan. All you have to do to enter is post a picture or a video of your quarantine golf, and whether that's at home or your now open golf course, hashtag quarantine golf. Do you know how to spell that? I'm going to try right now. QUARANTINEGOLF. Quarantine golf, hashtag quarantine golf. And be sure to tag both Jones Sports Co., Jones underscore sports underscore co, and Grayson Clothiers in the post. That's at Jones underscore sports underscore, I cannot, underscore co, and at Grayson Clothiers, G-R-E-Y-S-O-N Clothiers. Be sure to use your Jones and Grayson gear if you got it. Yos, if you got it, use it if you got it. I was going to say smoke them if you got them, but obviously I didn't say that. Keep your eyes and ears peeled. Winner will be announced May 25th. Get involved. I will say one of my favorite raincoats on planet Earth is the Jones Grayson Anorak, my friends. It's hooded. It's smart. It fits. And I feel like Michael Jordan in The Last Dance, but that's a little, I don't know if that's a compliment to myself. The truth is I haven't even seen it. I'm going to watch it tonight. Anyway, get involved.